Well, isn't it a blessing to say, I am what the Word of God says I am. I have what the Word of God says I have. I will be what the Word of God says I will be. I can do what the Word of God says I can do. And I have God's favor in my life. ¿Y en español? Yo soy lo que la palabra de Dios dice que soy. Yo tengo lo que la palabra de Dios dice que tengo. Yo seré lo que la palabra de Dios dice que seré. Yo puedo hacer lo que la palabra de Dios dice que puedo hacer. Y yo tengo el favor de Dios en mi vida. Give yourselves a hand. That's a major accomplishment. You've climbed a mountain. Today, I'd like to continue with the soul epistles in Corinthians. And we spent quite some time already in Corinthians, but Corinthians is pretty big. It's a big playground for the soul. And it's very exciting for the soul because so many things are learned about the soul. Not only things that pertain to this life, but remarkable truths concerning the future. And I've titled this teaching from Corinthians, The Soul's Inheritance, The Spiritual Adam. And it all ties into the soul. And I'd like you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I will start the teaching by reading a section of verses. And then I'll start talking about that. But I thought that the way God has this laid out in the Word is so dramatic and so emphatic that it's a perfect way to start this subject. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 35. But some men will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? And so I ask you, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? What a phenomenal question. It must spark tremendous interest. Because if you can walk through the veils of paper and ink and into the reality of what this is asking, it begs an answer. Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened, except it die. And that which thou sowest not the body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat, or of some other grain. You can't tell by looking at it. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. What bare grain is it that you and every man sows? This bare grain isn't the glory that shall follow. It is merely the sown seed. Every seed in existence bears almost no resemblance to that which it produces. The seed of man provides the greatest example of this, for that tiny little sperm has a look all its own. Your body and soul are like that too, in that they bear no resemblance to that which will be produced. A seed has life in and of itself, But don't forget, something else gave that seed up. When you die, what is it but that your soul first dies and then your body dies? But this is not the end. As a Christian, something very special is planned for you. This bare grain, your body and soul, will give way to a new body and life form. In this very unique way, God gave the soul of the Christian an inheritance in that life will live on, albeit in a different form. But this heirship, that's what I'm calling it, cannot happen naturally. It must take place supernaturally via a unique and wonderful spiritual transformation, something completely out of control of man. So how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Well, let's read some more scripture. Verse 41. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. Yet they're all stars, are they not? You can look up and say there's stars up there, but not a one is the same. And that's the point God's trying to make. Oh, there's lots of people in this room, but not a one of you are the same. And that is not only true here, it will be true in eternity. Verse 42, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that which was not first, which is spiritual, but that which is natural. And afterward, that which is spiritual. Verse 47. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. What we have just read is a magnificent display of the old compared with the new. We've seen the old glory compared with the new glory. We've seen death compared with life. We've seen sown in corruption compared with raised in incorruption. We've seen sown in dishonor compared to raised in glory. We've seen sown in weakness compared to raised in power. We've seen sown a natural body compared to raised a spiritual body. We know that there is a natural body, and we know that there is a spiritual body. We've seen the first Adam, who was made a living soul, and the last Adam, who was made a quickening spirit. We've seen that first came the natural, and that afterwards came the spiritual. We've seen that the first man was made of the earth, and that the second man was made from heaven. We've seen that all men today are earthy, and that's compared to all men then will be heavenly. We bear the image of the earthy, but then we'll bear the image of the heavenly. We've seen flesh and blood compared to the kingdom of God and that which inherits it. And we've seen corruption compared with incorruption. Yet these English words do not convey the essence and the power that this section of Scripture holds. And today I want to impart that unto you. In verse 42, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. Resurrection means to stand up again. Dead means corpse. Life is its opposite. Sown means to scatter, like you scatter seeds with your hand. This happens just like when seeding the ground. Corruption means ruin, as in the opposite of an unending existence. Verse 43, it is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory, it is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. Dishonor means shame, as in the opposite of glory, and glory means dignity. Weakness means feebleness or sickness. The opposite means to be enabled. Power is the Greek word dunamis, meaning inherent power. It's within, like the power of the battery. It's there, waiting. And it's the word often translated miracle. Verse 44, it is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. Natural comes from psychikos, a derivative of soul, which, by the way, is what led us here in our soul study. And it refers to man's sensitive nature, the ability to sense things emotionally. Sensual is a unique English word that conveys that. Raised means to be awakened. It refers to the idea of collecting one's faculties up here in your brain. It's arousing from sleep. Wake up! Spiritual refers to a non-carnal situation. The new body will not be a carnal body. It is a body under the realm of spiritual matters, much like our gift of Holy Spirit and the operation of the nine manifestations. A mere token, though, of that which is to come. There are those who attain this state of mind and activity in this life. Do you remember Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, where it says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. This new body is not bound by any carnal constraints whatsoever. Verse 45, And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. First refers to foremost. The foremost of this situation, that is, the very first one. In this case, it's talking about the very first man. He was called Adam. And perhaps you remember in Romans chapter 5, verse 14, where we're taught, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is a figure of him that was to come. Adam was the first. Well, living soul means a live breath. And as you know, there is no verb form to be in Greek or Hebrew. It doesn't exist. So if you ever read that in the Bible, something's wrong. But the word became does exist, and that's exactly what was used. Men became this way after the body was formed, a live breath, a living soul. Well, I know you remember Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, because it says exactly that. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. That's what it says. Last, in verse 45, refers to contiguity and the farthest, final, end of the line development. I know you've read this one too. It's right there in verse 22 of 1 Corinthians 15. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. This last Adam, if you noticed in verse 45, is not called a man. He is called the last Adam. It says the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, but then it says the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. There is no word man there for a reason. The last Adam is literally a quickening spirit. Quickening means vitalized. Man is no more at this time. The terms man and living soul are synonymous, just like the terms last Adam and quickening spirit are synonymous. Verse 46. Oh, we'll put all this together and it will blow your mind. But we have to kind of get through these steps first, okay? Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward, that which is spiritual. Verse 46, first again refers to the foremost or former man, the first one. Afterward refers to what happens thereafter. Formerly, there was a natural man. Thereafter, there is a spiritual Adam. Adam is understood. It is also understood that there will no longer be man. Verse 47, the first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. In verse 47, earth refers to the soil upon which we stand. It is ground. Earthy is a very poor translation. It should be translated made of dust. That is literally what the Greek word means. And by the way, this is exactly what it said in Genesis 2:7 that I already quoted to you. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. The Lord, in verse 47, is not in the text. It is a forgery. Cross it out. The phrase should read, the second man out of heaven. The verse literally reads, the first man out of the earth, made of dust, the second man out of heaven, made of spiritual matter, is understood. I'll give you literals of these so you don't have to write all this stuff down. Verse 48, as is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. As is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. Again, this verse is sorely mistranslated. It should read, but as he made of, or such as he made of dust, such also are those made of dust. And such as the heavenly one, such also the heavenly ones. If you think back to Genesis chapter 1, you will remember after its kind. In Genesis 1:24, you might remember, and God said, let the earth bring forth the living creatures after his kind, or its kind. And God followed that principle of after its kind all the way through creation. Everything that he did follows after its kind. Verse 49, as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Well, the easiest way to describe this verse, the proof's in the pudding. We are all well aware of the fact that we have borne the image of the one made of dust. We should bear also the image of the heavenly one. Verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Flesh and blood, the ones from the dust, right, cannot become heirs to God's realm. God's realm is spiritual. This is why man must first become a spiritual man in order to enjoy God's realm. First comes body and soul. Then you become born again, where you receive the gift of Holy Spirit. Then comes the new body of spiritual matter. God can't change the fact that his realm is spiritual through and through. This realm never did and never will have anything to do with flesh and blood. To understand this, God used the examples of corruption and incorruption in verse 50. Decay and ruin cannot be heir to an unending existence. Why? Well, decay eventually takes over and destroys everything in its path. This is why God had to intervene and remove all onuses of that which was related to dust. But let's not quickly talk down such a humble beginning. Dust represents the finest collection of God's creation called earth. It fully embodies all godly design of earth's goodness. God made man from this ever so fine, albeit humble, substance. But no matter how good this dust was, and no matter how remarkable it continued to become, it could never surpass things of heaven, spiritual matter. Dust caused God's creation of earth to rise up out of the ashes and climb to startling new heights of grandeur. But dust could go no further. In order to allow man to go further, God had to completely redesign his form. This redesign into a truly and totally spiritual being, called a spiritual Adam, would take him into God's kingdom, where God wanted him from the beginning. The soul works supremely well with God's creation. The creation of dust out of which all living creatures would come. It served both man and God well. Soon, it will be time for a transformation, allowing this unique inheritance into spiritual matter to take place. Soon, man will cease to exist, and God's spiritual atoms will reign in a new and exciting earth. And I thought that in order for you to understand this, it would be good to take this section of Scripture, verse 45 through 50, and give you a literal according to usage. And that's how we'll end this teaching. So just concentrate. So also is the standing up again of the corpse. It is scattered in ruin. It is roused from sleep in an unending existence. It is scattered in shame. It is roused from sleep in dignity. It is scattered in feebleness. It is roused from sleep in tremendous inherent power. It is scattered. I have to gather my thoughts here for a second. Because I can't wait for this to happen. It is scattered an emotional, sensual body. It is awakened in a body of spiritual matter. There is an emotional, sensual body. And there is a spiritual matter. Body is not in the text. So also it has been written, the foremost man, Adam, became an alive breath. The final development of Adam vitalized spirit, where man no longer exists in any form. But the foremost or former man, not spiritual, but natural, thereafter spiritual matter. The first man out of the earth, made of dust. The second man out of heaven, made of spiritual matter, is understood. Such as he, made of dust, such also are those made of dust. And such as the heavenly spiritual matter one, such also the heavenly spiritual matter ones. And according as we burdened the image of the one made of dust, we should bear the image of heavenly spiritual matter. But this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot be an heir to the realm of God, neither can ruin be an heir to an unending existence. On the one hand, you were man, a corpse, ruined, feeble and sick, emotional and sensual, with breath, a remarkable living soul, not spiritual in nature, made of dust and burdened with the same. Men and women of flesh and blood, heir to earth and dust at best. On the other hand, you will be the spiritual atoms, upstanding, roused from sleep, dignified, and enabled with tremendous inherent power, awakened into a new form of spiritual matter, a vitalized spirit, a spiritual heavenly atom, never again a man to be, bearing a new image of spiritual matter, heir to an unending and perfect existence. That's it.